Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road for that introductory music, and welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today, we thought we would discuss responses to very typical comebacks that we hear when we talk to our LDS friends. I have found that over the years of dialoguing with them one-on-one, that there are certain little phrases, expressions, sayings that tend to crop up every once in a while. And if you've ever talked to Mormons for any amount of time, you're probably going to recognize some of these as well. What kind of a response, for instance, Eric, would you give to a Latter-day Saint who comes up to you and says, "Well, I just don't feel the Spirit when you talk"?
Well, on that one, we hear that a lot, and a related one is the one that we have on this list that follows that. I feel a spirit of contention. What do you mean by spirit, I guess, is the first question I'm going to ask, because they say that there's a spirit of animosity, of anger, or something like that, when all you want to do is discuss that what are very important issues, and people need to understand that just because I disagree with you doesn't mean that I am contentious, doesn't mean that I don't have the spirit myself.
Yeah. I had a person use this very line with me. I was talking with him, and everything he said, I had a response to it. I had a rebuttal. And after a while, I could sense that he was really getting frustrated with me. And then he finally blurted it out. He says, I just don't feel the spirit when you talk. And I looked at him, and very politely, I said to him, "Well, given the fact that we both come from very different positions, why would I think you would feel the quote-unquote spirit when I talk, when you obviously don't feel I have it anyway? I don't have the true Holy Spirit that you think you have, so it seems to me that that would be a given that you wouldn't feel it because I'm saying things that conflict with the preconceived notions that you already have." Mainly trying to get them to say that should be obvious that you're not going to feel good by what I'm telling you. And because that's really what they're saying. They're saying that because I don't feel good by what you're telling me, it must not be the Spirit that's talking through you. That's their assumption.
Well, and as many Mormons are more than happy to talk to somebody who may not know very much about the church, who might be willing to have missionary lessons and all of the rest. And here, when somebody starts to quote some things and say, "Well, this is what something in your scripture says," or "This is what one of your leaders have said," so often we get all of a sudden a closed door and a wall goes up because they realize maybe you've done some studying on this. And if you're a Christian out there, we do encourage you to share your faith and to speak with knowledge and do a little bit of research. But so often this is going to be a line that comes back that's going to try to shut you down.
Well, like you brought up, I feel a spirit of contention when you talk. Now, if I was behaving in a contentious manner, and what I mean by that is if I was really getting upset and I was, you know, raising my voice, if the veins in my neck were popping out, if my face was getting red,
yeah,
I might understand what they mean by that. But normally, when I hear a Mormon use this line, it has nothing to do with any type of emotional expression that I'm using. It's merely the fact that I'm disagreeing with what they've said.
Right.
And if that's the case, I don't understand what this is all about. Feeling a spirit of contention is, like you said, it's meant to shut down the conversation. You're behaving badly, therefore I think we need to stop this conversation.
And ideas need to be able to be discussed. We need to be able, if you're going to talk to somebody who's a friend, who really is a friend, or a neighbor, or a relative, or a coworker, I mean, these are things that we should not take personally, that ideas should be out on the table, and regardless of where you're coming from or where you got the information, because a good comeback oftentimes is, oh, you must have gotten that off the internet.
Right. Well, you got that off of some anti-Mormon site,
right.
And they never stop to think that maybe you got the information from their own sources. When a Mormon comes back with that response, well, you must have heard that on the internet or something like that, it usually proves right off the bat that this person doesn't recognize the statement as coming from one of their own sources. In other words, they're probably not all that well read on this subject from their own people, from their own scripture, from their own magazines, from their own conference reports.
Do you find that that would be a good tactic for somebody out there who's just the average Christian, not one of us, as far as being in this ministry where we're around these quotes all the time? Would you suggest that maybe they bring up a few quotes to their Mormon friends, family, and ask them their opinion on it? Or is that not a good tactic?
As you said, if they ask their opinion on that, sometimes bringing up a quotation, especially if it's dealing with a historical subject, many Mormons don't know their own history. So it makes sense that they would probably come back thinking you made up that story or at least took it out of context to make it sound as bad as it obviously sounds to them, because they wouldn't respond that way if it didn't sound bad to them. They would be agreeing with you, no doubt. I think so, but usually what I do when I bring up something, I'll say, well, you know, I'm aware that Joseph Smith said this or Brigham Young said that. What do you think about that? Are you familiar with that statement? If they are familiar with it, of course, I want an opinion of it right now. If they're not familiar with it, and I have an opportunity later on to give them the documentation, I will tell them, I said, what if I got you the quote? What if I went and I made a photocopy of the page that I'm referring to? And then we can discuss this more intelligently. Would that be okay with you? And I'm asking their permission. Normally, they probably would not say no, because that would tend to portray the fact that they don't want to talk about these issues. It's kind of like asking the question of a Latter-day Saint, well, if there was the slightest chance that you could be wrong, would you want to know? That's a very intimidating question, because if they say no, it tends to show they're not open to hearing what you have to say on this issue. And it shows that they're closed-minded. Now, the fault lies with them. They're not willing to discuss this. So,
here's the next one, Bill. Mormons are Christians, too.
Oh, we hear that all the time. Let me put it in this context. I just received an email from a person saying, oh, you're one of those that believe that God's children are going to go to hell. My response is, no, I don't believe that at all. I don't think any Christian believes that any of God's children are going to go to hell. Of course, the problem is what is the definition of God's child? And so when they say, well, do you believe, you know, when you say that Mormons are Christians too, my response usually to that is, well, wait a minute. A Christian is a forgiven person. They'll say, well, do you believe Mormons are going to hell? I'll say, well, it depends on what Mormon you're talking about. Is this Mormon you're referring to a forgiven Mormon? Mormons don't know whether or not they're forgiven. They can't know whether or not they're forgiven. So if they're not forgiven, then it seems obvious to us that there's a spiritual problem that needs to be corrected here. So when they say Mormons are Christians too, I have to assume if you're saying that Mormons are Christians too, that all the Mormons you're talking about are forgiven Mormons, and yet Mormons won't even admit to that.
We, in our book, Questions to Ask Your Mormon Friend, that we had printed in 1994, we had asked a question similar to that, except what instead of, if they're synonymous, Mormons are Christians too, then we asked the question, well, if I'm a Christian, then can I also be called a Mormon?
If I embrace you as a Christian, will you embrace me as a Mormon? And it's meant to be a play on words.
Absolutely.
It's probably not the most, you know, airtight argument you would ever use, but it's meant to get them to start thinking about terms that are being used.
And the point is that words have meaning. And so if I'm a person who says I reject Joseph Smith, I reject all of the prophets of the church, and I reject Book of Mormon, etc., how could you call me a Mormon? In the same way, Christianity and Christian has a definite meaning too.
Yeah, right. And having that question asked of me, and I throw it back at them and trying to get them to explain, now they would never embrace me as a Mormon, as you have said, because we don't believe Joseph Smith is a prophet of God. We don't believe the Book of Mormon is the Word of God. We don't believe Thomas Monson is a living prophet for the church today. And a Mormon would say, well, see, that's why you're not a Mormon, because you don't believe the things that make Mormons what they are. And my response to that is, that's very interesting, because it goes both ways. You claim to be Christian, but yet you deny or distort all the things that have made Christians historically what they are.
That's a big point.
And so words, as you have said, have meaning, and we cannot go on with a conversation without clearly defining what we mean by certain words. If you do, then your conversation really doesn't carry any weight.
Well, Bill, if you had a nickel for every time you heard this one, you'd be a very rich man. Jesus Christ is in our church's name.
Yeah, that's a big one. We hear a lot. And all of a sudden, it's because they have an organization that has filed with the federal government and has a certain name attached to it, that somehow means it's Christian. I don't understand the linkage there. Especially when you look at Mormon history, and you find for at least 4 years out of its history, from 1834 to 1838, they were known as the Church of the Latter-day Saints. So they didn't even have the name of Jesus or Christ in the title during that four-year period. It doesn't really matter what you call the organization that you belong to. That does not necessarily mean it is Christian. Any more than a Mormon would assume that Christian churches that have the name of Jesus in it are legitimate Christian churches as well. See, it goes both ways. Sadly, a lot of Latter-day Saints don't look at it that way.
And I think when we understand the fallacy of saying that, well, therefore, because it has Jesus' name in it, therefore we are true followers of Christ, that really just doesn't say anything. That's just empty rhetoric.
For a Latter-day Saint to think that ends the discussion is really simplistic and really naive. And no Bible-believing Christian should allow that answer to go unchecked. We need to pursue that.
And I think so often it's made so that a new person who has never heard of the church, they go, oh, well, I've never heard of your church before. Oh, yes, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. They're able to use that to perhaps get missionaries into the door.
It could be. There are so many more of these. We need to take another day to look at these. So what we're going to do tomorrow is we're going to look at some more of what we feel are unimpressive Mormon comebacks. We hope that you'll join us for that show tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic. And this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.